Deuteronomy chapter 11 and verse 26. The Bible says, "Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day, and a curse if you will not obey the commandment of the Lord your God, but turn aside out of the way which I command you this day to go after other gods which you have not known." Let's pray. Father, we're so thankful for the many blessings that you provide for us all on a daily basis. And Father, if we were to take the time to testify about each of them or to enumerate them with one another, it would literally take a day upon day to do that. And we're just so thankful for all the many blessings you bestow upon each of us every day of our life. You've been so good to us. But Lord, as we look in our Bibles tonight and talk about the matter of blessings, I pray that you would speak to each person in a very personal way. Bless our time tonight, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, last week we started a brand new sermon series entitled Important Words in the New Testament. And we said that in our Bibles, that's the whole Bible, there are how many words? Does anybody remember? 780,000 plus words in the whole Bible, in our King James Version of the Bible, that is. But we began talking about some of the more important words in the New Testament. And we read from Romans chapter 5, verse 20, where the Bible says that where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. See, the fact is, sin does abound. We know that. And that word abound, by the way, means to make an increase of. And the fact is, sin does abound. Men are waxing worse and worse, it seems, all the time. Sin is absolutely prevalent in the society in which we live. We see that all the time. We can go to our favorite news site on the internet and find out just how sinful things are. You read about murders and burglaries and other terrible things. You can hear about those kinds of sinful things on television, on your favorite newscast. You can go downtown Charlottesville and you can see it taking place all the time. But sin is abounding. In fact, it abounds in the life of the unsaved. We mentioned that last week. But it doesn't just abound in unsaved people. It also, if we're honest with ourselves, can abound in the lives of saved people too. And by the way, that's not to say that a godly Christian sins all the time, because they don't. But still yet, we are sinners, and we're saved sinners, but we're still sinners. And because that's true, we sin from time to time. And, you know, we might not commit murder like Linda testified about on Sunday night. We might not do other terrible things like that. But there's all of us tonight who have been guilty of one sin or the other. For example, some of us might be gossips. And, you know, we don't think a thing about that, but, you know, gossip is wrong. We know that, but we might do that. Or we might have the tendency to be prideful about an accomplishment or about whatever else. And we know that that's also a sin. We might even be dishonest with somebody. But the fact is, Christians do sin sometimes. And see, sin abounds in the world that we live in. But I'm so glad, though, that the Bible tells us that where sin abounds, and that word where is important, where sin abounds, grace, it says, did much more abound. What a promising statement that is, that even where my personal sin abounds, I'm so thankful that God's grace abounds so much more than it does. And it does, as we said last week, because grace is a part of God's nature. In fact, in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10, the Bible says, "But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you've suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever." And aren't you glad that God's grace does abound, and that he is the God of all grace, not some, but all grace. I'm glad God is that way. But we also talked about abounding Christianity in addition to abounding grace. In fact, we looked in 2 Corinthians 8, verse 7 last week, where the Bible says, "Therefore, as ye abound in everything," and he was talking about in Christianity, "as ye abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. So he was saying there that, you know, you are abounding in certain parts of your Christianity. And by the way, Paul was speaking specifically about the time during the era of the second epistle to the church at Corinth. But, you know, they were increasing in their faith, he said. He wrote that under inspiration of Scripture. And they were abounding in their utterances of the Word of God. And that's what that word utterance means. It means it's the logos there. And he said, you are abounding in your knowledge of the things of God and in your love for us. But he said, see that ye abound in this grace also. We also mentioned last week that also fruit can abound to us. In fact, you know, the Apostle Paul told the church at Philippi that he wasn't desiring their financial gifts, but he was desiring fruit that would abound to their account. And he was saying there, you know, you folks have supported our ministry financially. And because you've done that, we've been able to win souls to Christ. We've been able to plant churches. But we didn't really desire your money. We only wanted for God to credit our work to you. And praise God, as we give to missions, we have the same opportunity to have fruit that abounds to our account also. And then last week, we also looked at 2 Peter chapter 1 and saw a few other Christian additives there that ought to abound in our life. But anyhow, as we think about another word tonight, this word is found 13 times in 12 verses in the New Testament, and it is the word blessing. And we're going to be talking about blessings tonight. But that being said, the word blessing is used some 67 times in the whole Bible. It is used in our text, for example. In fact, look again in verse 26 there. God said, behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse, a blessing if you obey the commandment of the Lord your God. So let's try to understand this word blessing tonight. And by the way, in Christian circles, we hear about folks who say they've been blessed often, right? For example, some people say, man, I was so blessed to meet my wife, and I sure was. Or I was so blessed for having been at church tonight. You know, somebody was a blessing to me, and we talk about that all the time. We sometimes even sing about blessings, and, you know, we sing songs like, God bless America, and we sing about the blessings of God sometimes, and we focus on it, but frequently in Christian circles, we use this word blessing or being blessed as believers, and especially, you know, as Americans, we are blessed in many, many, many ways. But that being said, have you ever wondered what that word blessing means? Well, the Oxford University Press Dictionary defines the word blessing as God's favor and protection. And that's really a really good definition of that word. In fact, it's a very scriptural definition. We'll see that in a moment here. It also defines this word blessing as a beneficial thing for which one is grateful. And that's another good definition. But in our Bibles, though, the word blessing means the experiencing of divine kindness, mercy, or goodness. In other words, it speaks about the fact that God wants to endue us with his favor. In fact, in Ephesians 1 verse 3, Paul said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. He was saying there, because our God is blessed, then he goes beyond that and gives us blessings. Isn't that a great blessing? Because our Lord is a blessed God, and that means he's a very special God. Because he is a very blessed God, then God gives us blessings also. Because he is divinely blessed, he blesses us. And in a few minutes here tonight, we're going to be talking about some ways in which God blesses us. But see, every time this word is used in our New Testament, and by the way, all 13 times, it is the Greek word eulogio, and it means essentially to extend favor to one. See, God the Father is blessed, so he extends favor to us. Now, by way of comparison, in the Old Testament, the word blessing there is the Hebrew word baraka, which is almost identical to the New Testament word, and it means to extend one with prosperity. Where on the one hand it is to extend favor, but in the Old Testament sense it is to extend prosperity too. And when it speaks about God blessing somebody, it speaks about how God provides both favor and prosperity to his own children. And by the way, isn't that what a parent does for their child? It is. Parents that love their children do all they can to provide blessings for their kids. They do all they can to provide favor and even prosperity to their children. Now, you know, when I was growing up, my mother, you know, she worked at doing that, but wasn't able to do that a lot because she had a lot of hardships on her that most women would never have, but she did. And she, along with our family, struggled financially. But I got to tell you this, my God doesn't struggle financially. Man, he is a blessed God, and he owns the cattle on a thousand hills. He is the holder of all favor, and God blesses us. He endues us with favor and prosperity all the time, and I'm glad he does, aren't you? He has blessed me with good health. God has blessed me with good friends, with a good Bible. He's blessed me with a church to attend, a wife and children who love me. God has blessed me with a free country to live in, and with so many other benefits that I couldn't even begin to number them all. But as we try to understand this word blessing tonight, whether it's in the Old Testament or in the New Testament, we understand that it means the extension of favor and prosperity. It is extended to we as children of God, given to us by our Father God. So let's look at some Bible references tonight where the word blessed or blessing is used. And the first place that I want you to notice is not in the New Testament, but the Old Testament. In fact, look in the book of Jeremiah, if you would. Jeremiah chapter 17. In Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 7, Jeremiah said, "Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is." He's saying, the person who trusts in God and who has his hope in the Lord is blessed. And then he tells us how. "For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters." Now, by the way, what psalm does that sound like? Psalm 100, right? It's Psalm 1, that's right. I just about made a mistake there. But anyhow, but he was saying there that the person who trusts God, who has faith in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is, that person will be blessed by being like a tree planted by a very fast-flowing river, which can help provide that plant with flourishing. It can make that plant green. And in that reference, in the definition there is clearly seen that it is providing prosperity. So that's one part. Look also in Proverbs 22, if you would. Proverbs 22, verse 9. Solomon wrote, "He that hath a bountiful eye shall be blessed, for he giveth of his bread to the poor." So he's saying there that those who are a blessing to others, God blesses them in return. So the fact is, if you want to have God's blessing on you, do all you can to be a blessing to somebody else. Likewise, the word blessed is used often in the Psalms. For example, in Psalm 5, verse 12, the psalmist wrote, "For thou, Lord, wilt bless the righteous. With favor wilt thou compass him as with a shield." In Numbers chapter 6 and verse 24, the Bible says, "The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace." Man, what a beautiful passage that is tonight. One that tells us what blessings are and who they're for. And they're for us. But it also tells us who they come from. "May the Lord bless you," it says. "May he extend his favor upon you. May his grace and his countenance be lifted up upon you." Also, in Deuteronomy chapter 28, the Bible says in verse 1 there, "And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth, And all these blessings shall come upon thee, or come on thee, and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. So there in that particular group of verses, it talks about some blessings being conditional. Conditioned upon whether or not we follow the Lord's commandments. In Psalm 67, in verse 1, the psalmist wrote, by way of prayer, he said, God, and he's actually praying here, asking God, God, be merciful unto us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us. So he's asking God for his divine favor or prosperity. And by the way, it's not just appropriate to ask that for yourself, but it's appropriate to ask that for other people also. In Psalm 33, verse 12, the psalmist wrote, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. So he's saying they're those countries, those nations of people who have Jehovah God as their God. Well, those people, God will bless them. But I will say that the contrary is also true. Those nations that don't revere Jehovah God as God, they won't be blessed by the Lord. In Psalm 34, verse 8, the psalmist went on to say, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. And as you keep on reading in the Old Testament, there are many other passages where you don't actually find the word blessed or bless in those passages, but you do find the concept of blessings throughout many other places in the Old Testament. And we won't take time to go through all those because it would take us a lot of time tonight. But anyhow, there are blessings in the Old Testament that are to be found. But also, and I mentioned this before, the word blessing or blessed is found 13 other times in the New Testament. For example, when Paul wrote to the church that was at Rome, in Romans 15:29, Paul said, and I am sure that when I come unto you, I shall come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. And let me ask you a question. Isn't the gospel a blessing? It really is. Listen, we're blessed to have come in possession of the gospel. I mean, you think about how our life would have been tonight had God not given us the gospel. I think about my own life. I grew up in the home of an alcoholic, and as a result of that, I lived in a very bad neighborhood most of my childhood. There was a lot of sin taking place all around me. The neighborhood wasn't great. People didn't try to please God in my neighborhood. In fact, it was quite the opposite. And the truth is, if it weren't for the gospel of Jesus Christ being given to me by my mom, I might have ended up following some of those examples. Thank God for the blessing of the gospel in my life. It has saved me, literally rescuing me from the consequences of my sin. By the way, consequences both eternal and earthly. See, sin does have earthly consequences too. But praise God that he saved my soul. I'm so glad I didn't have to fall into the same snare my dad fell into. Praise God for the blessing of the gospel that he gave me. Also, in Galatians 3, and you can look there if you want to, but the Bible says in verse 13 there that Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Notice this, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. Now, by the way, what is the blessing of Abraham? The blessing of his faith, right? Abraham was blessed to have faith in God. And you know, in Bible times, especially even in the New Testament time, there was a lot of folks who believed that only the Jews were blessed with faith in Jehovah God. But you know, when Jesus Christ died on Calvary, he extended that same blessing to the Gentiles also. Praise God, he did. I'm glad he did that. Likewise, in Hebrews 6, and speaking about Abraham's faith in the Old Testament, the Bible says in verse 13 there that when God made a promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he sware by himself, saying, surely blessing, I will bless thee, and multiplying, I will multiply thee. He was saying, man, I promised Abraham to bless him, and question, did God not do that? He certainly did. In the book of James, we find a sort of a negative use for the word blessing. In fact, in James chapter 3, verse 10, James said, therewith bless we God and therewith, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God, out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. So he's saying there that, you know, sometimes as Christians, we bless God, but we curse men. We ought not do that, he was saying. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8, Peter wrote, "Finally, be all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrarywise, blessing." So he's saying there that, you know, rather than railing on people or being mean-spirited, why not be a blessing to people? But again, this word blessed or blessing is used again and again in the Bible, and it describes how God extends favor to his own children. And let me say that in days like this, we stand in need of God's blessing. We really do. In fact, I'm sort of like the psalmist, and I had to pray, "God, please bless me, because I need that." And as believers today, living in the day that we live in, listen, we need God's blessing. And, you know, tonight when we finish our sermon, maybe we'll take the opportunity to ask God to bless us as a people. But now that we've tried to understand the word blessing from both the Old and the New Testaments, and now that we've sort of underscored many of the places where the word blessing is used in both Old and New Testaments, let's turn back to our text in the book of Deuteronomy, and let's see how God utilizes this word blessing in our own lives. And let me say that God blesses us both physically and spiritually as Christians. Aren't you glad about that? He blesses us both physically and spiritually in our life, and we need those things. In fact, in Deuteronomy 11, the Bible says in verse 13 there, "It shall come to pass, if ye shall hearken diligently unto my commandments, which I command you this day, to love the Lord your God, and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul, that I will give you the rain of your land in due season, the first rain and the latter rain, that thou mayest gather in thy corn, and thy wine, and thine oil. And I will send grass in thy fields for thy cattle, that thou mayest eat and be full." Now, what's he talking about here? He's talking about our need for physical blessing. We need supply. We need to be nourished, right? He goes on to say later on, though, down in verse 26 there, "I set before you this day a blessing and a curse." And the point is, God blesses us physically with rain to provide nourishment for our corn and our other things. Now, by the way, have you ever seen farmers plant their corn in the, I guess they plant in the early spring? And, you know, it looks like it's going to be a great crop. It starts growing and it looks green and well-favored. But then a drought comes or a long absence of rain. And what happens to the corn? It dries up, it withers and dies. What do farmers often do when that takes place? They plow it under, right? Because it's a lost crop. It's not helping anybody. And listen, that happens sometimes. But aren't you glad that as a Christian, God knows exactly what we need? He said, "I'll give you your rain in your land in his due season. For the rain, the first rain and the latter rain, that thou mayest gather in thy corn and thy wine and thine oil." He's saying there, I'm going to bless you with the supply you need, the physical supply for food. I'm going to bless you. And you know, God gives us really the same kind of promise in Philippians 4 when he says there, "My God shall supply all your need." But I'm just saying, God promises to bless us with the physical need of supply that we have. But we also see from this text that God likewise blesses us with the physical need of security in our life. In verse 23 there, the Bible says, "Then will the Lord drive out all these nations from before you, and ye shall possess greater nations and mightier than yourselves. Every place whereon the soles of your feet shall tread shall be yours, from the wilderness of Lebanon, from the river Euphrates, even unto the uttermost sea shall your coast be. There shall no man be able to stand before you, for the Lord your God shall lay fear on you and the dread of you and of you upon all the land that ye shall tread upon, as he hath said unto you." So he's saying there, no matter where you go, Israelites, I'm going to protect you. I'm going to give you the security that you need so that you don't have to worry about any threat at all. I'm going to take care of you, and every bit of land you have or every bit of land you see, I'm going to give you, even though your enemies are stronger than you are. He's simply saying that I'm going to protect you from a security standpoint. And, you know, when I think about our Savior's promise to the disciples and to us, it's sort of the same thing Jesus promised the disciples, I'm with you always. And, you know, when Jesus is with you, then it's like Isaiah wrote, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. If God's with us, right? And by the way, even if God does let some weapon prosper against me, he takes the hits for me. He's a good God like that. But you know, as believers, though, we don't just stand in need of physical blessings. And we do have that, though. But we also stand in need of some spiritual blessings, too. And I'm so glad that God knows our needs.